I'm going to talk about a study that looked at the effects of prenatal protein intake on the impact of psychiatric disorder on birth outcomes. And first want to acknowledge our research team, which has grown quite large over the years, and funding received from the National Institute of Mental Health. The background for this study comes from the work that has looked at the effect of stress hormones in pregnancy. And we know that only about 10% of stress hormones in human beings cross the placenta to affect the fetus. But we have associated effects of restricted fetal growth and shorter gestation and preterm birth. But the findings are somewhat consistent across different studies in terms of the magnitude of that effect. Now, we also know from animal studies that about 10 to 20% in mammals of stress hormones get across the placenta. And from a series of experiments with rats, an enzyme has been identified that the placenta produces that blocks maternal stress hormones from crossing the placenta. And in a series of experiments reported in Science in 2002, it was shown that if a rat mother is fed a protein quantity in pregnancy that is sufficient for a non-pregnant adult rat but not for a pregnant adult rat, that placental enzyme is not produced. And when the enzyme is not produced, the circulating maternal stress hormones cross the placenta unimpeded, and the amount that affects the fetus and the pregnancy is 8 to 10-fold greater than it is in rats who are fed an adequate pregnancy amount of protein and produce that enzyme. Now, we also know from studies of psychiatric disorders and symptoms that there are associated neuroendocrine hormones, stress hormones, that are higher in people who have psychiatric disorders. That this varies with a particular disorder. We also know from a whole separate body of research that psychiatric disorders in pregnancy are associated with poor birth outcomes and birth complications. Now, women who have psychiatric disorders also have higher rates of life stressors. They're more likely to be divorced. They're more likely to lose a job. So the potential for an impact on the fetus comes from both things that occur in life, but also hormonal responses to psychiatric disorders themselves. So from this literature, the hypothesis that is tested in the study I'm reporting today is that a protein intake in pregnancy that is lower than the recommended daily allowance of protein will modify the effect of psychiatric disorder on birth outcomes. And stated statistically, this would be that there's a significant interaction effect between protein intake and psychiatric disorder. The study from which the data comes is a population-based prospective cohort, which was designed to look at the effects of psychiatric disorder on pregnancy outcomes. The sample was drawn from WIC sites in the urban core of St. Louis and also in a low-income rural area in Missouri, and women were recruited in 2000 to 2001. Participants were 13 or older, either African-American or Caucasian, and English-speaking, and representative by race in the 6-county WIC programs that we sampled. And the total sample was 744 pregnant women. We used birth data from the Missouri Certificates of Live Birth and assessed for psychiatric disorder using the Diagnostic Interview Survey, version 4. And this is a lay-administered structured interview that can make a large number of diagnoses. We used a version that allowed 22 current diagnoses. And the diagnoses are based on the Diagnostic Statistical Manual for criteria for symptoms and severity and effect. And this next slide gives you the array of disorders that were covered by the interview version that we used. So for this study, the exposure variables include a dichotomous variable of any psychiatric disorder, any one of those disorders, and then a second one, which was made up of the total number of lifetime symptoms. And this is a sort of a crude proxy for chronicity and severity of disorder. And we defined this as having more than the 75th percentile of symptoms, so 37 symptoms. And then low protein was measured by using the Harvard Food Frequency Questionnaire, which was collected at WIC entry, and using 85%, which was kind of an arbitrary level, of the recommended daily allowance to define low protein, below 85% of the RDA. And we eliminated extremes of calorie intake, less than 500 and more than 4,500 calories, which is what is recommended in the literature with using food frequency questionnaires. And this reduced the sample about 15%. And then outcomes were birth weight in grams and gestational age, which was determined with last menstrual period by interview, not from the birth certificate. And the sample that we had for analysis was dropped down to 417 for women who had both birth certificate data and nutrition data. And that was about 55% African American. Now, we did the analyses separately by race because we wanted to allow for different modeling by race. And we used multiple linear regression, adjusting for covariates. This next slide shows you what those covariates were and the distribution of variables. About 25% in this subset had a current psychiatric disorder, and 18% high psychiatric symptoms, lifetime symptoms. Point out that a quarter were under the age of 19. And we also identified those in severe poverty. This was a low-income sample, but we split the sample at the median for income for a family of four. Also adjusted for BMI in the IOM categories. So I'm running out of time. I'll skip to the... Okay. This next slide shows the multiple regression results for prenatal psychiatric disorder on birth weight. And the first two columns of numbers shows you the main effects model, and the last two columns shows you the same model with the interaction term added, allowing for an interaction between protein and psychiatric disorder. And you'll see that the interaction term adds significantly to the model. And you can't interpret that term by itself. So what we did was to diagram the effect of the interaction. So this is solving the equation. We're adjusting for the covariates and then plotting what the effect is of psychiatric disorder in women who have above the 85 percentile of protein compared to those who have below. And what you see is that when protein level is normal, defined by 85%, there is no visible effect from psychiatric disorder. But when protein level is low, women with a psychiatric disorder have a baby that is 468 grams lighter. And then the same equation using gestational age as a dependent variable. Again, you see that the interaction term is significant. And plotting the effect, see that the babies are born 2.4 weeks earlier when a woman has both a psychiatric disorder and has protein intake below 85%. And again, when the protein intake is above 85%, there's no measurable effect from psychiatric disorder. Using high lifetime symptoms, which again is chronic and severe disorder, over a longer period of time. Again, you see a significant interaction effect that is even larger in magnitude, and plotting the effect shows a decrease in weight in the presence of both psychiatric disorder and low protein of 729 grams on average. And then with gestational age as the dependent variable, again, the interaction term is significant, and the degree of effect is that the baby is born 3.6 weeks earlier than occurs when there is a psychiatric disorder alone, when both psychiatric disorder and protein occur at the same time. So in summary, we do accept the hypothesis that prenatal psychiatric disorder interacts with protein, and that when both are present compared to psychiatric disorder alone, babies are 468 grams lighter and born 2.4 weeks earlier. And then with high lifetime symptoms, again, the interaction term is significant, but the effect is greater with chronic and severe symptoms. The babies are 729 grams lighter on average and born 3.5 weeks earlier. So we conclude that prenatal protein consumption above 85% appears to protect the fetus on birth outcomes among African Americans. When we did the same analyses with Caucasian mothers, we found no significant effects. And it is possible that these protein effects may explain inconsistent results in other studies of the effects of stress on birth outcomes. Although there are many other potential hypotheses that could explain this, this is a very promising hypothesis. Thank you.